You are listening to the Ivy Podcast. Learn from the thought leaders in areas of strategy, innovation, negotiation, and all things leadership. We interview the Ivy League, Fortune 100, and top startups. Now, here's your host, John Carcibaev.
Hi, I'm Carlos Garcia. I'm the CEO and founder of FinHabits, and we are the leading money app for U.S. Latinos, serving the needs of the community in terms of investments, insurance, and banking.
Awesome. Carlos, thank you so much for finding time to join us today on the Ivy Podcast. Tell us a little bit more about FinHabits. What motivated you to build such an organization? And more specifically, what kind of problem are you guys solving with your products and services?
Yes, you know, I started FinHabits because growing up in the border town of El Paso, Texas, and Juarez, Mexico, I always saw my parents, they work so hard every day, and we always talked about money, but it was more about the money for today or for tomorrow. I've never heard my parents discussing, what are we going to do with this money in 3 years or in 10 years, or how do we build, you know, what we call patrimonio familiar, you know, in Spanish, for the next generations. And I also remember that there was no real relationship they had with any financial institution. So after I spent a few years in Wall Street and I worked at for the institutional side, I continued and I kept thinking about my past, and I thought about when I first started working in Merrill Lynch, that I didn't know what a 401k was. And then later when I saw that there was a product called 529 to save for college, I also never heard about that. So I said, you know, what are we gonna do in this country where we have 60 million Latinos living in the country? Now it's 18% of the US population, but it's gonna become 30% soon. What are we gonna do if these Latinos don't have smart financial habits? And that's when I decided, I said, we need a company that helps Latinos create better financial habits. And the name is FinHabits because of financial habits.
I love that. The name is very clever. It definitely speaks to the mission of the organization. And I can only relate, being, you know, the immigrant myself as well, and coming to US and, you know, not really having a great financial background as well. I think some of the, you know, the challenges that you guys solve is, I can only see, you know, a lot of demand, a lot of value from that. So definitely that's exciting. So you've been in financial sector for quite some time, and even before founding FinHabits, I'm curious, from the industry standpoint, what are the different trends that excite you, that, you know, that are possibly coming out of maybe the current times? What are the different trends that you're observing and maybe perhaps looking to implement at your organization?
So one trend that excites me a lot is that I believe that the financial company of the future, or the bank of the future, it's going to be that institution that owns the relationship with the consumer. And it's not necessarily the institution that has the largest balance sheet. So building a company that really owns the relationship and has a trusted relationship with each consumer, it's you know, it's one of our top priorities. And the way we do that is by building a very strong database of user behaviors, but also demographic behaviors, financial behaviors, because that's how we can really innovate. So I think once you start collecting that data, and once you understand better your user, then you can really add value to their lives by developing better products. So it's very exciting that in the past, I believe the way that these products, financial services, were created, they were created in a lab. And then when they go outside the lab, they see, you know, which users liked it and which user didn't like it. I think we have now the ability to create products and services based on real information from the users. And then we can, you know, we can manufacture them and then distribute them when we already know there's a demand for that.
Right, absolutely. And something that you've mentioned when it comes to innovation, you know, being in the financial sector, I would imagine you guys would have to continuously innovate, continuously improve your product, continuously improve your service. Tell us a little bit more about that innovation cycle that you guys go through. What does that look like? And how do you guys come up with, you know, new ideas to either invest in or something to select as a project that you're going to take on?
So we always want to have an innovation cycle that is the, you know, the shortest amount of time possible. Mm-hmm. If it's daily, that's great. But sometimes it has to be weekly. Sometimes it has to be monthly. Sometimes it has to be quarterly. But one of the things that we do well is that we always build feedback loops before we start running any experiments. So we always want to make sure that there's a feedback loop where we can collect data. And based on that data, this is how we can really start innovating. So an example of that is, you know, we realized that our users were, you know, telling us through the conversations that we were collecting that they needed help with increasing their credit score. So that took us to a path where we innovated and decided to create the money journeys. And the money journeys are conversations that you have through our app with our AI-based assistant. And you can have a conversation over 7 days, over 10 days. And these are all, you know, conversations that are software-based, but it actually looked like they're real. And they can help users at scale improve their credit score. That was one of the innovations, for example, that we did. And one of the interesting parts is that, you know, in the last few weeks, I think it was 2-3 weeks ago, Fast Company gave us an award as a design award for that money journey that we created inside the app.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's definitely exciting. That's a great example of how necessity leads to innovation. As far as, you know, looking at a particular problem, maybe that's coming from internally or from your users, and turning that into an innovative product. So that's pretty exciting. You've mentioned something around artificial intelligence, and me coming from, you know, information technology background, advanced tech excites me just in general, you know, machine learning, AI, all of those concepts. They're innovating software engineering and information technology in general. What kind of trends have you seen that impact, you know, the financial sector from the AI machine learning perspective? And do you have any other examples of how you guys actually leveraging technologies as such in your products and services?
Yeah, so we definitely try to be as efficient as possible in leveraging, you know, automation. And I mentioned one of the things was using our artificial intelligence based assistant to have conversations with our users. But we also use that technology when there is a customer support need. Mm-hmm. We try to prevent people calling our help desk or our call center if we know that there is going to be a potential issue or there is a potential question that you might have. We will preemptively offer you a video, or we will offer you an email communication that, you know, potentially will solve that question. So that's something we use. And I think that's pretty exciting because it allows us to build a company that can scale, mm-hmm. Without necessarily having to build a huge operational team that supports that.
Right, right. Absolutely. That's a great example. And in general, what are the type of technologies that excite you as, you know, as the head of the organization that, you know, you've used perhaps not as part of your services and products that you guys offer, but just in general, the type of technology that you're maybe thinking about, okay, this is a really cool use case. I may be able to leverage some of that in my, you know, day-to-day operations.
Well, one technology that I think needs to be used across the spectrum for the type of audiences that we serve, which are low and moderate income consumers, is a better way to understanding credit risk. And we don't offer credit, you know, we don't offer a credit product to our consumers, but it's something that excites me. And I think we're going to dig deeper and understand how can we do that with the use of data I believe that the way that credit underwriting is done today, you know, it dates back maybe 20, 30 years. It hasn't been a lot of innovation, and especially with consumers that have a thin credit file. You know, it's even harder, right? If you're an immigrant, if you're a Latino immigrant, even worse, right? If you don't have a FICO score, it's very, very hard to do that. But you know, your behavior, your financial behavior probably shows that you actually are responsible and you will pay back the loan. But those consumers end up getting the worst rates in the market. Right. So I think that's something we want to see more innovation, whether we will do it or others do it. You know, I would like to support that.
Right. Absolutely. And I can only relate to that. And, you know, you know, building up the credit and a lot of that, it's not an overnight thing. It's a continuous education and it's a continuous thing. And I think investing in the technology that helps from that standpoint, especially when you target, you know, the immigrant sector, I think there's a lot of opportunity there as far as improvement and leveraging technology for that space. To shift gears a little bit, want to talk to you about, I'm pretty sure that's, you know, on your mind 24/7. As executives, we always think about surrounding ourselves with the top talent and attracting the top candidates to our teams and building that culture of, you know, high performers. First things first, just want to get an idea. What does the interview with Carlos look like? Give us a glimpse into that. Do you tend to get creative with that? Do you keep it pretty traditional? And more importantly, what do you look for in some of the responses when you hear them?
No, this is a good question. So I think that every person is unique and different. So there's no one set of questions that you can ask. You cannot just go through the questions and check the box, because you're going to get a very different response and you might not get a very good understanding of that person. One of the things that I want to understand and I would like to, you know, through the conversation, develop a better understanding is whether this person is a long-term thinker or a short-term thinker, because it's very, very difficult to build a large scaling company when you're just thinking short-term. You know, you have to have a very long-term mindset and have a way to kind of say, well, this is my 5-year or this is my 10-year plan. But then I also want to understand, you know, how can you execute and go and get there today and then tomorrow? But if I cannot figure out in an interview that you're thinking long term, then it's very, very, very hard to work together. One other thing that it's, you know, that it's interesting for me is in these interviews, you wanna have people who have deep a technical skill in a very particular, whether it's on the marketing side or whether it's on data science or whether it's on, you know, on the operation of the business. But you also want to know that they have a very strong understanding of human behavior. Because if you don't have those two, right, if they don't get the human behavior, you can have the brightest person, but they cannot relate to others, then it's going to fail. So you have to be able to mix those two and make sure that they are, you know, they're going to be working well in your team as you grow.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for that insight. With, you know, I'm part of an organization that one of the services that we provide is, you know, partnering with organizations to find very niche advanced technology skill set as far as, you know, IT candidate search. And I get that question all the time as far as, you know, how, you know, especially in the current times with the inability to interview people face to face, doing the interviews remotely, it's a completely, you know, different dynamic. And I'm pretty sure you guys are experiencing that, you know, currently, you know, day to day when you interview candidates. How has that, you know, impacted at all or maybe improved the interview process from your standpoint? And how do you guys leverage technology to interview potential candidates?
Well, I would say that this year there have been multiple events, right? It's not just the fact that we have a pandemic and we have elections, but we also had the Black Lives Matters movement happening. And I think that opened up also another type of conversation, which is a conversation that requires a much deeper understanding of the, you know, of the fabric of society.
Right.
And that's super important for us to you know, just need to cut to the chase in the interview and figure out if this person understands that. For example, you know, most people will say that the Latinos are just, you know, Latinos is just one bucket and Latinos are just one type of Latino. Mm-hmm. But it's not the case, actually. There's Latinos are very heterogeneous, and you have, you know, 60 million Latinos living in this country. But it's very important to understand that the Mexican-American Latino from LA, for example, thinks very differently about money than the third generation Cuban American from Orlando. I mean, we see this today. We see it on this election cycle. You know, it's something that we're talking about now, that Latinos have different views and Latinos are really, really different. So that's something we want to understand, whether this person or this individual has the ability to have that deep understanding of society as well.
Right. Very absolutely. And from your standpoint, what are the most in demand skill sets that are very hard to find for you guys in your industry, in your sector these days? And how do you go about attracting that type of talent to your organization?
So I believe that in order to attract talent, the best talent to the organization, it goes back to the other question. They have to have a long-term mindset, and they have to believe in that vision that we set up to accomplish. And our vision is that we want to be able to offer high quality financial services to everyone, regardless of race, regardless of income, education, language. So that's number one. They have to believe in this long-term vision. And then what are the skills that we look for? It's you know, it's a combination. We need to have very strong technical, they have to have very strong technical skills. They have to understand human behavior, and they have to have an open mind to understand also cultural behavior, figuring out and understanding that Latinos in the country are very varied and very different, very heterogeneous.
Right. Right, absolutely. And I'm pretty sure you read a lot, and just curious, what are you currently reading, and what is one book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
I've been reading a lot about how companies create brands that last like 50, 60, or 100 years. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting how a brand evolution occurs over time, right? The brands like Fiat, these are brands that have, you know, now, you know, started in Italy, but now they're all over the world, and they continue to operate, and they attract a certain user. And I think that's one thing that, you know, it's exciting, and I always try to read about that. But one book that I recommend, and I always whenever I meet with other entrepreneurs, I always ask them, you know, have you read the hard thing about hard things from Ben Horowitz?
Oh, I love that book.
I think that book has a lot of insights that help entrepreneurs cope with all the volatility of our lives.
Right. No, absolutely. I actually got my boss hooked up on that book after I read it. I bought him a copy, and I was, you know, I said, you have to read this book. And it's just not only the things that he went through as, you know, he was building his companies and he was an executive and stuff like that, but also a lot of the kind of practical recommendations, how to overcome, you know, some of these challenges. I thought that was, you know, that was an outstanding book. So definitely great recommendation, Carlos. And last but not least, so what's next for you? What's next for FinHabits? Where are you guys going? What do you see, you know, the next period looking like?
Well, we're very excited today because, you know, this year has been a year of a lot of good things happening in FinHabits. We got an award recently by Goldman Sachs being named one of the 100 most intriguing entrepreneurs of 2020. We were part of the Goldman Sachs Black and Latinx launch with GS Accelerator. There's a lot of I think support systems that are now in place where FinHabits can continue to accelerate. Our goal is to have, you know, 10% of the market share of Latinos in the country using FinHabits to either get access to an investment, to insurance, or to banking products. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get there in the next 2 years. So that's where we're putting all our efforts and very excited about the growth path that we had. I think we also see that there's a huge demand for services that build a trustworthy relationship with the end user. And some of the large players in the industry, whether it's in the investment industry or the asset management industry or the healthcare sector, they're starting to look at FinHabits as a platform that they can also use to reach the Latinos at scale. And that's very exciting because now we can partner with these companies, and hopefully we will continue to do that in the next, you know, few months.
That's exciting. Carlos, I know you're very busy. Thanks for your time today and sharing your expertise with us. I look forward to staying in touch with you, and perhaps we can do another episode in another year to see how much have changed. Definitely appreciate your time today.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.